In last week's parsha, we read how Avram Avinu said to the Bnei Ches, Ger v'so shav anochi imochem, a stranger and a resident I am amongst you. Rav Soloveitchik famously commented about this. I quote, Abraham lived among various people of divergent faiths. When he negotiated with the sons of Ches for a burial plot for his wife Sarah, he defined his status. I am a stranger and a resident among you. He was basically declaring that the sectarian faith he was propounding did not preclude his commitment to further the welfare of the general society. End of quote. Perhaps the greatest challenge that any Ben or Bas Torah in our community faces is attempting to navigate the balance of Ger v'Soshav, when we are part of the broader society and when we are apart. And when we speak of this dilemma, I'm not speaking of issues of halacha. Halacha by its nature is mostly clear and immutable. It may change in its application to different circumstances, and perhaps even shift slowly, almost imperceptibly, over very long periods of time. There may be a shift from one approach in the halachic tradition to a different one in it, based upon changing circumstances. But fundamentally, halacha is immutable, and at least in its broad strokes, clear. Instead, what I speak of here are what we would term Torah values, what might best be described as the broader picture that the details of halacha paint. If the various halachos consist of all of the trees in the forest, then Torah values would be what one sees when stepping back and gazing at the bigger picture. It is not merely a collection of individual trees, but a magnificent, verdant forest, the intertwining of branches of the various trees, as well as the magnificent rays of light that shine through the gaps. In a somewhat famous tshuva, the Noda Behuda was asked about a Jew who had become wealthy and had acquired significant landholdings, including wild forests. And he expressed an interest in hunting for sport, inquiring of the Noda Behuda regarding its permissibility. After initially dismissing the relevance of a couple of possible halachic prohibitions, the Noda Behuda states, V'omnom me'od ani tameh al guf adav. I wonder about the entire issue. V'lo matzinu ish tzayad, rak b'nimrod u'be'esav. Hunters, we only find with Nimrod and Esav. V'ein zedarkei b'nei Avram Yitzhak v'Yaakov. He expresses his astonishment that any Jew would consider hunting for sport. Who hunts? Esav, Nimrod. But what is the issue? Apparently, this Jew couldn't see the forest for his own forests. The Yerushalmi tells a story of Shimon ben Shetach, who used to earn his living by working with flax, a very unpleasant profession. His students came to him and suggested that he shouldn't have to work so hard. They proposed that they would buy him a donkey, and he could be the equivalent of a short-haul driver. He assented, and they went and bought him a donkey from a non-Jewish man. When they returned, they told their Rebbe that not only would he not have to work hard, he wouldn't have to work at all. Because apparently the donkey they had bought came with the hope diamond hanging around its neck. Shimon ben Shetach asked them, does the donkey's owner know? They answered in the negative, at which point he told them to return the donkey with the diamond. His students said, but Rebbe, even the man to Amar who says that gezelo shel goy is asur, agrees that avedoso is muteres. He turned to them and he said, did you think that Shimon ben Shetach is a barbaron, a barbarian? Shimon ben Shetach would much prefer to hear, blessed is the God of the Jews, than any reward in this world. Shimon ben Shetach's students knew the halacha quite well, and yet they were unable to intuit the Torah's broader message. The halacha may draw the line in a particular place and may assign property in one way or another, but the Torah demands from us a broader ethic and ethos. This idea is famously captured in the related comments of the Smag, where he tells us that he preached to the diaspora in Christian lands that even though the halacha technically permits avedas akum, the reason why the Jewish people is still in exile is because they partake of this technical permission and other similar behaviors. And as a result, if God were to redeem the Jewish people, the nations of the world would challenge God as to how he could choose for his lot a nation of ganovim and ramoim. Once again, it is easy to miss the forest for the trees. But as easy as it is to miss the forest when it comes to matters that are essentially driven by internal dynamics of the halacha, the greater danger arises when there are values that are buffeting us from the broader culture. The Medrash in Eicha Rabba tells us, Im yomar lecha adam yesh chochma bagoyim, tame. Yesh Torah bagoyim, al tame. Chochma is science in its broadest sense, fundamentally descriptive in nature, both of the physical world and of human behavior. Torah is instruction as to how we ought to behave. It is a system of values prescriptive in nature. We can learn our science from foreign cultures, but with respect to our values, bagoyim ein Torah. I want to be explicitly clear here about two points, both of whose essence I have tried to hammer into my Talmidim and to anyone who would listen over the last number of years. Number one, determining what are Torah values is not always a simple matter. Of course, in many areas, the broad strokes are fairly clear. About this, we should not deceive ourselves. But there are situations where there is genuine ambiguity. Take, for example, the Torah's attitude towards capital punishment. The Torah prescribes the death penalty for many averos, and the pshat reading of the Torah does not evince any principled reservations. And yet Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon and the Mishnah and Makos assert that had they been around during the historical era during which the death penalty was still administrable, they would have ensured that nobody was ever executed, utilizing arcane procedural technicalities. It is unclear, though, whether their opposition was philosophical or only practical, that is, concern for convicting the innocent. So determining Torah values is not always a simple enterprise. On the other hand, when the Torah perspective is clear and clearly in conflict with some other value system, there is only one acceptable choice for an Eved Hashem. He or she chooses Torah. One cannot be poseach al shtei hasa'ipim. You can choose to identify as one or the other, but kilayim is asur min haTorah. Choosing the non-Torah value system is fundamentally a kind of ideological idolatry. It essentially entails fashioning God in the image of humans rather than humans being formed in the image of God. One gets to choose the altar upon which one worships, but one should be honest about what altar that is. With these external challenges, there are two different kinds. The first and the more obvious, which I do not wish to focus on tonight, are the classical hot-button issues. I don't need to name them. These are crucial issues in our community, and it is essential that our approach in these areas be formed and informed by the Torah and its values. And so often they are not. But they are not what I wish to focus on now. There is a second kind of challenge in which we adopt the values of surrounding society, typically unthinkingly. Some of these are reflected in the way that we live our lives, and others are reflected in the positions we adopt and advocate for, or at least profess to believe in. An example of the first kind would be the materialism and consumerism which defines so much of our society. If you are not sure about this, recall, and most of you in this room cannot recall this, recall that after the events of 9/11, then President Bush told our country that the way to respond was to go shopping. Of course, what he was really saying was to carry on as normal. That was the appropriate response. But that a significant part of the definition of normal was shopping is telling of what so much of our culture has become. You can go to the mall, that great temple of American religion, because you need a number of different things, and you have all of these stores in close proximity, so it is a more efficient use of your time. Or you can go there to spend hours hanging out and shopping for things that you never even knew that you needed. These are two very different kinds of activities, but the latter has become reflective of much of our society in which we are deeply embedded. Clearly, Choshen Mishpat delineates the permissible and the forbidden in our financial dealings. But once we have cleared the bar of Choshen Mishpat, and then the bar of Hilchos Tzedakah and Yerideah, everything else is technically permitted. But a Torah Jew should aspire to something more. We should strive to expand the depth of the Gabra and not to increase the number of Chefzas. This kind of values challenge is problematic, but at least no one, presumably, would defend this from an ideological perspective. But there is another area of values conflict and confusion, which I find to be extremely disturbing, and that is the intersection of religion and politics. I understand that we have both a young Democrat and young Republican chapter on our campus. To be honest, I don't truly understand why. Don't get me wrong. I can readily understand why a Torah Jew might choose to vote Democrat, or why a Torah Jew might choose to vote Republican. I understand. But I do have deep concerns about a Torah Jew perceiving his or her core identity as either a Democrat or Republican. I know that there are a lot of people who will disagree with the following statement, but I will say it anyway, because it's correct. Neither the Democratic nor Republican Party's platforms in totality are in accordance with Torah values. If you disagree with that statement, it is not because it is wrong, but because you are seriously confused about Torah. When you vote, you hopefully evaluate the full gamut of issues and discover that on some issues, one party's views are more in accordance with Torah, and on other issues, it is the other parties which adhere more closely. And often, neither do. You then make a choice, fully recognizing that you sacrifice some things for others. But the voting choice you make should never influence your understanding of Torah values. God forbid you should vote X, and then by association assume that all of X's positions accord with the Torah perspective. I don't know what the Second Amendment actually means. But whatever it exactly means, that has no bearing on the Torah's halachic or hashkafic views towards weapons and gun control, nor on what choices we should as B'nai Torah make in our own private spheres. I have no idea what the Constitution really holds about abortion, but I am pretty sure that neither the typical pro-life nor pro-choice positions and attitudes are reflective of the nuanced and complex approaches of most of the contemporary poskim who actually regularly answer these shilas. And when it comes to economics, it's worth noting that in the last few years there have been a couple of speakers, not rabbinic individuals, who have come and spoken on this campus, where at least parts of their remarks address the Torah's ethos in the realm of economics. Suffice it to say that neither was proficient to opine about the economic values of Torah Judaism, And certainly not in a Makom Torah such as this, where there are plenty of Talmidei Chachamim who are. And while the Torah is most certainly not socialist, the conservative, lowercase c, economic views expressed were also most definitely not in sync with the spirit of Choshen Mishpat and Yerideya. This should not be taken as a criticism of the speakers. They were invited to express their ideas and did so, but rather as a criticism of those who invited them to do so, providing them a platform, and those in the audience who uncritically accepted what was said. The Torah's Weltanschauung on economic justice can only be understood through studying large tracts of Torah, not by cherry-picking halachos to conform to one political philosophy or the other. If you want to understand the Torah's philosophy on economic justice, I would recommend that you study the laws of Ribbis, Shmita V'Yovel, Schirus Poalim, Nizkei Shchenim, Gvias Chov Me'a Yisomim, Hilchos Tzedakah, and the list goes on and on. But don't look to the platform of the party that you vote for to figure out your theory of economic justice, nor that of any other issue. A Torah Jew should not, in his or her core, be a card-carrying Democrat or Republican. He should view him or herself as a member of the party of the Ribbono Shel Olam. How you vote and what you advocate for in the public sphere of a mostly secular republic is complex and nuanced. But your fundamental allegiance and what you stand for and aspire to should never be in question in your minds and in the impression that you give others. Im Hashem ho'elokim lechu acharav v'im ha-ba'al lechu acharav. When Eliyahu presented the Jews on Har HaKarmel with this choice, they could not answer. V'lo anu ha'am oso davar. I certainly hope that all of you can answer this question. And remember, you cannot be poseach al shtei hasi'ipim. Im yomar lecha adam chachma bagoyim ta'amein. Torah bagoyim al ta'amein. I began this sicha by talking about the Rav's dichotomy of ger versus toshav. The ger is apart from society, whereas the toshav is part and parcel. But in truth, for us, even the toshav element, that is, when we get involved with concerns of broader society, is still fundamentally apart. The ger represents those areas in which Torah values are diametrically opposed to the society in which we find ourselves, whereas the toshav represents those arenas in which we are close enough to participate in the discussion. But even in the domain of toshav, and especially in situations where we might deem it wise not necessarily to push for our own particularistic positions and values, we always do so cognizant of what the ideal Torah values are, and never distort them when we interact with others who don't share our values. As the Torah tells us in Parshas Bahar, V'ha'aretz lo simocher litzmisus, ki li ha'aretz. The land may not be sold, ever an eternal sale, even with the agreement of both parties, because the land actually belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki geirim v'soshavim atem imadi. Because ultimately, the way we act, both as geirim, when we are completely apart, and even as toshavim, must be informed by imadi, in accordance with the Torah and the values of the Ribbono Shel Olam.